tell you what, she was talented. She was also a composer. As a matter of fact, she was co-composer of this song, Adventures in Paradise. In fact, three of them shared in the writing of this song. Minnie Riperton, of course, being one, as I just mentioned. The other two being Joe Sample, keyboardist for the great group, the Crusaders, and also the great composer, Richard Rudolph. Yes, those are the three who wrote this song. Minnie Riperton, Joe Sample, and Richard Rudolph. All right, we're taking a look at these opportunity zones. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be listening, listening, listening. Because when Power Friday comes, and it is time to quiz you on this, the songs featured in this weekend song, all the information I will have shared is fair game for the quiz. So be ready, be ready, be ready. All right, the opportunity zones. Who is really getting the opportunity to benefit from these opportunity zones? Rapidly gentrifying areas of Oakland, Los Angeles, New York City, being put into play for those who stand to gain the most financially. Because taxpayers must have unrealized capital gains in order to invest in an opportunity zone, and capital gains are heavily concentrated among the wealthy, the tax break will directly benefit wealthy private investors. Local residents of opportunity zones will benefit only to the extent that the tax break encourages new investments, not those that would have occurred anyway. New investments. The local residents of the opportunity zones will benefit only to the extent that the tax break creates jobs for residents, or spurs the development of new affordable housing, or creates broader economic improvements that reach local residents. How often does it turn out that when these new developments take place, the people who need to be benefited the most are the ones who benefit the least? And once again, those who have the power of writing the laws have written the laws in such a way that those who need help the most get help the least. Those who need help the least get help the most. Unlike some other economic development incentives, this tax break does not include rules or tests requiring its direct beneficiaries to make specific investments that actually produce public benefits, or requiring that opportunity zone businesses hire workers from or provide services to the local community. See, all of those stipulations can be written into the law to make absolutely sure that the people who are already residents of those communities benefit. The Republicans made sure that these stipulations were not written into this law. And again, we ask ourselves, is this something that they just did not know to do? Tax writing processes have been in play for centuries. Many of those who were writing the laws have been there for years and years and years and years. And even if they had not been, we just know that if you want a certain type of outcome, you have to make sure, I'm talking about lawmakers now, if they want a certain type of outcome, they know they've got to write that into the law to ensure that it happens. They do it all the time. They didn't do this. If anything, the way this tax law was written its incentives push in the opposite direction. The tax break is worth the most with respect to investments whose value rises the fastest. As a result, investors will likely select investments such as luxury hotels rather than affordable housing, based mainly on their expected financial return and not their social impact. In pitching to potential investors, former Trump White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci characterized one of his investment firm's projects in an opportunity zone in Oakland as, quote unquote, building a swank boutique hotel that's going to create excessive economic rents. Building a swank boutique hotel that is going to create excessive economic rents. They're going to put a nice fancy hotel there, knowing that one of the results, in fact, their purpose is to have housing go up around that hotel that will cost so much that certain populations will be priced out. So if they're already in, they're going to be pushed out. If they're already out, there's no way they'll be able to get in. And that's under the new tax law, the 2017 tax law, an opportunity zone. Similarly, Cadre, a New York-based real estate investment firm, announced plans to invest only in a subset of opportunity zones in metropolitan areas with, quote unquote, outsized future growth potential. In other words, in cities that are already expected to grow economically and likely don't need help in attracting investment. So not surprisingly, analysts warn that the new tax break could accelerate gentrification. In fact, it sounds to me that that is one of his goals, to accelerate gentrification. As a result, the dislocation of current residents and, as a result, the creation of very few jobs. They're not saying no jobs, but very few jobs. It's so unfortunate that we have so many people in the church who purport to be people who love Jesus Christ, and yet they applaud these kinds of laws and the people who write these kinds of laws and make it their lifestyle of looking for these kinds of potential lawmakers or actual lawmakers, if they're already seated and they're up for re-election. So many people who look for these kinds of lawmakers, despite the fact that the Lord God emphasizes frequently the importance of doing right by the poor and not coming up with laws that are designed to hurt the poor. Now, I think that one of the questions we need to ask is this. Do we really believe God when he says through the Apostle John in one of his letters, one of his epistles, that we cannot love God whom we don't see if we don't love our brothers who we do see? And one of the clearest indications that we do or don't love our brothers, truly love our brothers, is whether or not we love our brothers as we love ourselves. And one of the clearest ways to determine whether or not we truly, genuinely love our brothers and sisters the way we love ourselves is to honestly answer the question, am I treating my brother or my sister the way I want to be treated? And remember, when the religious leader went to Jesus and asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He didn't ask Jesus what he needed to do to grow stronger in his religious lifestyle. He didn't ask what he needed to do to develop a more stable faith in God. His question to Jesus was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be ushered into the presence of God when I die, rather than be ushered away from the presence of God when I die? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus gave the parable of the Good Samaritan. He talked about the man who had been beaten up, beaten so badly that he was left for dead. Two religious leaders at different times saw this man lying on the ground where he'd been left to die, left for dead, saw him and crossed over to the other side of the street, other side of the walkway, the other side of the path, so that they wouldn't even get close to him. And they left him there to die. They left him there for dead. A Samaritan who was supposed to have been a sworn enemy of this Jew who had been beaten and left for dead, took good care of him and did what he could to nurse the man back to health, left him at an inn, and asked the innkeeper, now you take up for me. You continue to nurse him back to health. Here's some money I'm leaving with you. I'm coming back this way after I can finish conducting my business. I'm going to check on him, see how things are going. And if I owe you anything else on my way back when I check on him, I will pay you whatever else is owed you. And Jesus asked, which of these men was neighbor to the one who had been left for dead? And the man said, the one who showed him mercy. And of course, the one who showed him mercy was that Samaritan who helped to nurse him back to health. Jesus and the one who asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? They both agreed that in order to do that, he had to love God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he had to love his neighbor as himself. He had to love his neighbor the same way that he loved himself. When we, the constituents, are looking for politicians to write the kinds of laws that stack the courts in such a way as to hurt people of color, when we look for lawmakers who will write the laws that will be designed to keep helping the rich while continuing to hurt the poor, because we look at it and we say, wow, they are going to really be messed up by the laws that these guys and gals are going to write. Let's make sure that we vote for those guys and gals. Are we loving our neighbors the same way we love ourselves? Are we doing what the Lord Jesus said we must do in order to inherit eternal life?